Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We have a personal question for you. How's your singing? You heard us right. How's your singing? Do you sing primarily in the choir, the pew, or the shower? What kind of music do you sing? Christian, rhythm and blues, country and western, jazz, gospel, hip-hop, pop? What kind? Is your singing voice of a quality that only a mother could enjoy? In days gone by, I've said I sing solo. Solo, nobody can hear me. I said that I sing, but nobody would ever ask me to record a music CD. These are things that I have previously said, but not anymore. A fresh revelation from the last part of Mark 11:23 caused me to change the words coming out of my mouth.
Good boy. Mark 11:23. The last part says, for verily I say unto you, actually, the first part of it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that is one thing my husband's always wanted to do, is sing well.
Yeah, I think God knew what he did.
For a reason. Huh?
Yep, I do. If I could preach and sing, whoa!
You'd be hard to live with. A further revelation came when we actually scripturally understood the meaning of Psalm 95, verse 1. This is an admonition from the Lord. It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
You know, honey, I used to make jokes about my joyful noise. The dictionary definition of noise added credit to my humor about my singing voice. Dictionary.com defines noise as sound, especially of a loud, harsh, or confused kind. Truthfully, I thought my singing sounded like a noise. However, again, a fresh revelation into the scriptural meaning of joyful noise changed my thought pattern. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for joyful noise is 873:21. 873:21, and listen to what it means. To shout, to raise a sound, cry out, give a blast, to shout a war cry or alarm of battle, to shout in triumph over enemies, to shout in applause, to cry out in distress. In short, a joyful noise is not a song, but a shout. Yes, a shout that, well, should be done by everyone, whether they have a 5-octave range of Aaron Neville or a voice like mine. We're supposed to shout in battle, in distress, and in triumph. So everyone should be shouting and singing. John Piper, an amazing pastor, author, and educator, said, worship is an inward feeling, an outward action that reflects the worth of God. Let's go a little further with Colossians 3:16.
Colossians 3:16 in the Classic Amplified Bible has changed our perspective and reality about singing unto the Lord. And this is what it says. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in all its richness, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things. Wisdom and spiritual things, honey.
Yeah.
And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts.
Honey, in that passage of scripture, there are seven reasons why we should be singing to the Lord. First, the Word of God should have its home in our hearts and our minds. The Word spoken by God and our Lord and Savior Jesus should reign in our hearts.
In Luke 6:45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." We should be speaking the words that Christ spoke.
Amen.
And in Proverbs 23:15 in the Message Bible, it says, "Dear child, if you become wise, I'll be one happy parent. My heart will dance and sing to the tuneful truth you'll speak."
Wow. Second, we should be teaching, admonishing, and training others in the Word. This particular reason, well, truthfully, should be a no-brainer for every born-again believer. If for no other reason, honey, than the Great Commission.
That's true. Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen," which means so be it. Hebrews 5:12 in the New Living Translation actually sums up the things when it says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word."
Tony Dungy, Super Bowl championship football coach, strong Christian author, and TV commentator, said, "You never know what's going to happen. My mother was an English teacher. If someone had told her I was going to write a book, she would have never believed it. So you can never say never."
There you go.
But seeing this whole process, we should be teaching, admonishing, training others in the Word. And one of the ways we do that is by writing it out. Third, our teaching should contain insight, intelligence, and wisdom.
This kind of teaching is not based on your educational level or your intellectual prowess, but rather 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ,"
yes,
"the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart."
Thank you, Lord.
It's a matter of bringing it out of us.
Hallelujah. Thus far, we've learned that every believer should have the Word of God established in their hearts so they can teach and train everyone what they've learned with a wisdom beyond their natural mind.
That's it. Now let's look at our primary text in Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in all its richness, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody to God with his grace in your hearts."
Fourth, we should sing psalms. According to Strong's Concordance, the word psalms is G5528, and it means a striking twanging of striking the chords of a musical instrument, a song. Now, I don't have to tell you that I started smiling when I saw twanging, as it most often refers to country and western singers. So I guess the laugh is on everybody who's not into twanging, because God wants us to be a twanger.
You are too funny. 1 Chronicles 16:9. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, sing unto him, sing songs unto him. This is psalms. It's hard to get it out. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works.
This particular scriptural admonition must be important to God, as that same verse is repeated word for word in Psalm 105:2.
Fifth, we should sing hymns. According to Strong's Concordance, the word for hymns found in Colossians 3:16 is the Greek word G5215, and it means a song of praise of God, heroes, conquerors, a sacred song, hymn. Does this definition of hymns line up with those who've been singing out of your church hymnal? Well, maybe in some cases we don't think so. We're to sing hymns of victory over every foe.
Hallelujah. Shout for the victory, sing for the victory. Six, we should sing spiritual songs. There is a very specific direction in the scripture on the kinds of spiritual songs we're to sing.
It says, and they sang the song of Moses and the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, mighty and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the omnipotent, righteous, just, and true are your ways, O sovereign of the ages, king of the nations.
Seventh, we should be singing to God with grace in our heart. Again, all these 7 points are out of our primary scripture today.
That's it.
We're not just to sing to the Lord. We're to sing with grace in a very specific manner. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for grace, we talked about this recently, charis, spelled charis, is G5485. And it means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor, and benefit.
Two final scriptures for your thought process in all of this. First, let's look at Colossians 3:16 in the Message Bible. You know, it has a way of getting right in there and making it real to us.
It
says, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Wow. And then there's a further confirmation of this teaching found in Ephesians 5:19. But Colossians and Ephesians are so similar in thought and in process. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your hearts to the Lord.
Well, one thing for sure,
mm-hmm.
We need to be singing and shouting the victory.
There you go.
You ready to sing? Me, 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 me.
Don't mind him.
I'm just
kidding.
Aggravating the devil.
That's right. We love to do that.
Yes, we do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hopefully that gave you a different perspective on singing unto the Lord.
You know, when you're really down, and I've had some moments like that, especially in my beginnings, you can really just start praising God, and he'll just start giving you words. I wish I had some of the words that God had given me years ago when I just was down and out and started singing, and I could have done something back then. Hallelujah.
You're doing something now, too.
Anyway, but it was, you know, if I knew all of that, but he will give you a melody in your heart when you really need it.
That's exactly right.
He is so good.
Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldherod.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. That's all we'll ever ask. But while you're there, check out this week's 2-minute video and literally thousands of 2-minute, 5 to 7-minute videos, Sunday night live teachings, articles, blogs,
that's
things that adjust
over the years,
move you from where you are
Yeah.
To where God wants you to be.
And believe me, we want, above all, for God to move you from where you are to where you want to be.
And He wants you to be.
That's exactly right. That's what I meant, I guess. I didn't know I said it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.